7:43. O Lord, our Lord, how many, oh, excuse me, I started with your reading, didn't I? Oh, well, we all make mistakes, don't we? O Lord, our Lord.
How majestic is your name in all the earth.
Your glory is chanted above the heavens by the mouth of babes and infants. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? Yet you have made them little less than God. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. All sheep and oxen, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. O Lord, our Lord.
Good morning, everyone. I'm pleased to say that Lisa Pisacelli from the Attleboro Area Interfaith Collaborative is with us this morning, and actually she arrived early. Carol, I don't know if you realize that.
She had a mask on.
Yes, she had a mask on. That's what she said. I have not met Lisa, and actually she arrived early enough to hear Warna and Sherilyn practicing her vocal. So I just wanted to say, she's been here, and I said to Lisa, forgive us for not recognizing that you were sitting here ahead of the service. Listen, just a couple of thoughts, and then Lisa's going to come and speak with us. I printed out a copy of the triad, and you know, we tried to put some new information about the mission committee every time it's published. Sometimes that's challenging. But I just wanted to remind everyone about the children's clothing swap that we'll be doing on Saturday, September 24th. I'm not going to go into detail, but it's in the triad, all of the detail. So make sure you read it, and it will continue to show up throughout the summer. And I said to Reverend Carroll when I came in this morning, thinking about the Attleboro Area Interfaith Collaborative, and we've worked with the organization for a number of years. Dot Embry just happened to come to my mind this morning, and I thought our beloved Dot Embry, that for many years served as the executive director of the Council of Churches and was involved with Food and Friends and some of the social service ministry that the council was doing, and then things evolve over a number of years. And they have extended the social service network and fabric in the community, and we've supported their ministry with the homeless and other roles that they play in the community. And so, you know, as things evolve, the name of the organization changes, and today we know it as the Attleboro Area Interfaith Collaborative. And so I'm going to ask Lisa to come and share with us, give us some insight into new things that are happening, and now we're back to Food and Friends, no longer operating under the COVID guidelines by way of restrictions on how meals can be served, and she'll give us more insight there. But let's give Lisa a warm welcome. She wasn't a Latter-day Saint, as we say some Sundays.
It is really wonderful to be here. Thank you all so much. Can you hear me? So as I was listening to the opening hymn, I thought that that was really fitting. We didn't plan it, but it really spoke to the work of the Attleboro Area Interfaith Collaborative, our Food and Friends program. So take time to be holy. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. And I also thought of that opening in stanza 2. Take time to be holy, the world rushes on. So what I'd like to start with is I often reflect on reconnecting to why. Why do we do the things we do? Oftentimes, life gets really noisy and we're paying attention to all kinds of things. So a lot of the work that perhaps we need to be doing, thinking about, working on, particularly with the collaborate, is that deliberation. We're making choices. Because if not, sort of our time as a resource gets away from us. When I think about the name of our program, Food and Friends, I love that name. We often gather together with food. We gather together with family and friends. And so that friends represents the people we're sharing meals with. It represents those that are helping us to provide for those meals. It is our compassionate and dedicated volunteers that help us do this work. It's all of us. It's all of us coming together, sharing a meal. What does it take to put together a meal? Well, we all see the prices of the gas going up, the food prices going up. So our guests at our meal sites, we're trying to prepare those meals. Is it that we're preparing 75? Is it that we're preparing 125 or 150? Those numbers rise and fall. As you can imagine, we're in a period where those numbers are rising again. During the pandemic, we have served 86,000 meals plus. That number just keeps growing every week. That was my last count. 86,000 meals we've served during the time of the pandemic. Now, I see my name listed here in the bulletin and talking about the Kids Summer Cafe. So last year, specifically 2021, we served nearly 5,000 meals out of the Kids Summer Cafe. So all of our meals are free. Nobody has to register, no ID required. So they come to a meal site. Over the last 2 years, those meal sites have been what we call grab and go. The state has put on the guidance now that it's mandatory that the meals are served on site this year. We have no waiver. So we've re-looked at where those sites are, and we've planfully figured out which are the places that folks may gather the easiest. We're working on the schedule. I had hoped to have flyers for you, but I'm waiting for approval from the state. So as soon as I get that, which really should be soon, I'll put it on our website, our social media account, and I can also send along the a PDF for you all. I was asked to talk about what are those things that we need. We are pretty good with our volunteer crews. I know you all know Pam Turalo. She's done miraculous work with the training and the organizing of those sites. But if a few of you have availability, middle of the day, Monday through Friday. Certainly contact her. I'm sure that, you know, somebody may be sick from time to time. Maybe there's an activity you can pull together so that there's an enrichment activity. There's always a way. There's always a way to help. Other things that we could use, bottled water. When folks show up to our meal sites, we like to provide them a meal as well as water. As you can imagine, the summer months, that's even more appropriate. Some of our guests, at our regular meal site are homeless. We especially want to make sure that we have, extra that we're giving, to them. I want to share one of our values. We serve and act in the spirit of obligation to better our world. So again, that's, you know, how is it that we are all able to share in this work? There's many ways. We bring together the clergy. We have a nice luncheon or breakfast. And they discuss where are those challenges that are happening, what are those new things that can be done. They talk about the chaplaincy at Sturdy Memorial Hospital. Oftentimes you hear us talk about food and friends, but we also have the chaplaincy program that has been in operation since 1948 continuously. And it is our local clergy that assist us in that work. We hire a chaplain who coordinates and is in communication with the local clergy. During pretty much when the doors were shut at Sturdy, visitors couldn't come in, our chaplain was still there communicating, working with families, working with the nurses. So that's really important work. That's also nourishment. We like to say that we serve the community one meal at a time, but it's also one comfort at a time. The third program we have is Resource Junction. I like to think about that program as an access point. So it's one thing to say, we provide meals, this is the time, the day, the location that the meals are, but how do folks get there, right? So if you're struggling, there's other issues that are happening. So making sure that we have bus passes and gas cards and Uber rides, and just making sure that it's sort of in a central location, that's important too. There's really so much that we all do together. I'm so honored to be able to work with this organization. Many of you know it perhaps more than I have, because I know you've been very, very active in the programming, in the organization. Reverend Carol has served on our board 6 or 7 years? Yeah, so she's very familiar with the organization. I remember my very first days, she was almost one of my first calls to say, I'd love to come and chat, but really, I'd love to listen, really. So I'm very appreciative. There's glowing words that we talk about, compassionate volunteers, dedicated volunteers. Those aren't just to say, really. Truly, this work is done by pretty remarkable folks like yourself. I really thank you very much. I didn't look at my notes. I'm going to take a quick glance and make sure there's nothing else that I totally missed. I think somebody made mention of the name change of the organization. So we were Attleboro Area Council of Churches. I know we did some work with an interfaith discussion group at one time, then some strategic planning happened, so that's when the new name became. That was in 2016 that we changed it to the Attleboro Area Interfaith Collaborative. There's often some confusion or people wonder why, so I just wanted to share on that. Again, you know, strategic planning every 5-10 years. Well, we were supposed to do that 2 years ago. It made no sense. In a pandemic, everything changes. We're trying to fill in gaps, rework groups. So right now we've been doing something that I call strategic planning, but it's coming off of adaptive strategy. So not so rigid, you know, every day, are we wearing masks? Are we not wearing masks? What's happening? So, you know, we're there to fill the gaps. If there's another group that has organized themselves to meet a need, we don't need to duplicate. We'll move on to something else and then lead people to that other program. This is important work. I appreciate all those that help us with this work. It really is a we. The staff, the volunteers, I'm just in awe. And I'm looking out at all of you and how engaged you are as well. And I'm just here to say thank you. So if you're looking to take part, our immediate needs are our water. We can always use gift cards to Subway, seems to be, or gift cards to Stop and Shop. So if one day we're planning meals for 150 and 160 and 70 come up, that's when we utilize some of those other kinds of gift cards so that nobody walks away without a means to get a meal. Pam is a great contact. I am happy to connect with any and all of you as well. I'll provide the information, and I just thank you all for the invitation here today.
Listen, just a thought again, AAIC is our project for June and July, and Lisa's mentioned some of the things that are helpful. Sometimes it's easier simply to give a financial gift, as we've done with other organizations, and then they have the funds to go and make those purchases. And our hope is to send a check the end of June and then one at the end of July, so they'll have those resources. So thank you very much. Oh yes, there are mission envelopes in the pews. So if you want to give in the offering today, you can, or take an envelope home and have it for next week. Thank you.
Okay, missing Lisa was strike two. Strike three, and I'm out of the batter's box. So somebody else out there is going to have to come up and fill this role. There are just a few or more announcements I do want to make. As you know, worship time of 9:30 will be all summer long until the last Sunday in August. And we are really wanting to look for more people who are willing to learn the technology. Poor Nancy Brigham and Pam Morse have been here almost every Sunday, and we need to give them a little bit of a rest. So if any of you are willing to learn that, let me know, and we will train you. It's not that difficult. It's starting the Zoom meeting, and it's having an iPad to let people in during the worship service. Any other announcements that anyone wants to make? If not, then let us remember how much God truly has blessed each and every one of us as we present our morning's gifts and our tithes and our offerings. Gracious and loving God, as we listen to the words that Lisa shared with us today, we have to always be mindful of the fact that there are people who are hungry, who are homeless right here in our community. And so we pray that you will receive these gifts which we offer to you to do that kind of work, not only here within the church, but outside in the community. And we ask all of this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Just before we have our special music, I'd just like to make an announcement while they get set up. You guys can set up. I'd just like to say that we are pleased to have Sherilyn and Warner share some music of faith with us today. And anybody that wants to do that throughout the summer, by all means, oh, there's an audition right there. Anyone that would like to do that, by all means, just get a hold of me. Let me know if you'd like to sing something, if you'd like to play something, if you know somebody that would like to do something. And we'd like to line up some people through the summer, other than just me, doing special music. So by all means, get a hold of me and let me know, and I'd be more than happy to do it. Sherilyn and Warner are going to share a song by Syra Groves. He's always been faithful.
And just before we do that, I just wanted to say something about the song. This is a new song to both of us. Gil and I have some very dear friends who in mid-May retired from active service as ministers in the Salvation Army after 45 years. And they had requested that I come and sing this. And Sherilyn came down with COVID and we had been in contact, so I wasn't able to go. But we decided we would offer it to the church because he is always faithful. We know very little about each other except little glimpses that we give to each other, but all of us have a story of how God has been faithful from the time we arrived on the earth until today. God is always faithful to each of us.
Great is This is my anthem. This is my song. The theme of the stories I've heard for so long. God has been faithful. He will be again. His love is
This is the time we share our celebrations, and I would like to celebrate that beautiful music. And thank you for honoring us with the debut of that song. It's lovely. I hope we hear it often. That would be lovely. Thank you. Are there any other celebrations anyone would like to lift up today? Then let us turn to our concerns as a church family. There are several people that have been added to the list. One is Michael, that's Christine Mitchell's father, that's Nancy Mitchell's daughter-in-law, her father. Had a very bad diagnosis, so I thought some prayers are with that family today, especially. For those who are at home, we pray for Jackie Howard, who did indeed get COVID, and we were praying for Harry last week, so we pray for both of them. And Barbara Billsborough, I think, is doing much better with recovering from COVID as well. Those who are in the nursing homes or assisted living, we pray for Jackie Glass, who is in, not sure whether it's palliative care or hospice at this point, at the Maples, Carolyn Farrell, and Nancy Kelly, Kathy Trowbridge's mother, has been moved permanently into the Branches, so she will be remaining there. We also continue to pray for other people with ongoing medical issues, including Jen, and Lee, Marge, Marilyn, Diane, and Janet, Bonnie, and Kathy Wade. We pray for all who struggle with addictions. We pray for our nation and the well-being of the world during these trying times. We pray especially for the nation of Ukraine, and we pray, as always, for peace. And of course, we pray every Sunday for our special mission. We want to keep the Attleboro area Interfaith Collaborative in our prayers today, as well as for the Cafe for Kids and for all of the good that they do throughout our community. So let us be in a moment of prayer as we lift all of these things into God's presence. Let us pray. God of all times and places, all things and all people, do we spend too much time of our days in the future devising and planning, reaching and straining, hoping and dreading? Help us to realize that for all our dreams and aspirations, we owe a debt of gratitude to times and people in our past. We remember our fathers and mothers and all others who fashioned us into the beings that we are now. We see their frailties, and because of our own frailties, we forgive them and have sympathy for them. Shall we not bestow upon our sons and daughters those same human weaknesses? Nevertheless, we are grateful for all of their gifts and nurturing that have brought us to this time and place. Help us to embrace anew our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who told Nicodemus in the darkness of night that he needed to be born again. We recognize that we too need to be born again. perhaps not with a sudden bolt of lightning, but with a steadily growing faith in you as our Creator and Jesus as our teacher. And we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit on this day the church calls Trinity Sunday. Jesus said that he would not leave us alone to our own devices, but would send another comforter, the Holy Spirit. And so we turn to ask the presence of your Holy Spirit among us. Hear our prayers about ourselves, our nation, our community, and our world. We also ask that you be present with all of those whose names we have mentioned, as well as those whose names we now speak in our hearts or out loud here in the sanctuary. All this we only dare ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. This is Trinity Sunday, which always follows directly after Pentecost Sunday. The Gospel of John is very esoteric. He writes in philosophical Greek terms an awful lot, and he sometimes is quite difficult to understand. But in these verses, he is quoting Jesus' words to his disciples after pages and pages of warnings about what is going to be happening after he leaves them to return to God. And he speaks of sending an advocate, which is sometimes also translated as counselor or comforter. And that will be the one who will continue the mission begun by Jesus. So we read now from John 16, verses 12 through 15. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in righteousness and judgment. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear to hear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that I will take what is mine and declare it to you. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
We're going to sing hymn 454, Open My Eyes That I May See. We'll sing all three verses.
Open my eyes that I may see.
A man was crossing the street in front of a Roman Catholic church, and he was knocked down by a hit-and-run driver, and as he lay there half-conscious, a priest hurried out and prepared to administer the last rites. "Do you believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost?" he asked. "I'm dying," he said, "and you're asking me riddles?" The Trinity is a riddle, isn't it? It's a very difficult thing to explain. Peppermint Patty, you know that my favorite strip is still Peanuts. There's so much there. She steps up to the store counter in one of these cartoons, and the clerk asks her what she needs. She says, "Yes, sir. I need some school supplies, some pencils, some paper, a loose leaf binder, and some answers." I need a lot of answers. Don't we all? This is Trinity Sunday, as I mentioned, and it's an interesting Sunday. It truly is. There was one minister who claimed that he had a parishioner who only came to church on Trinity Sunday. He wasn't there for Christmas, he wasn't there for Easter, but he always came on Trinity Sunday, and after several years of noticing this, he went up to the man and he said, "Why is it that you come on Trinity Sunday?" He said, "I always get a kick out of hearing the pastor try to explain the Trinity." Well, what does Trinity mean? Etymologically, it's a combination of two words, tri meaning three and uni meaning one. Triune, three in one. In Christianity, the church developed this concept of God revealing himself to us in three different ways: Father, Son, and the Comforter, the Advocate, or the Holy Spirit. In the United Church of Christ, we proudly proclaim that we are Trinitarians. In the old congregational tradition, there was a major split in the old congregational church, and it started right here in good old Massachusetts in the late 1700s, and it is now called the Unitarian split. We have a Unitarian church in town, right? Yeah, the minister lives right below me in my condos. So we have some interesting conversations sometimes about Trinity and unity and so forth. But there were those in those days who could not wrap their minds around this difficult concept of the Trinity. They thought Trinitarians were worshiping three gods. And clearly, the Old Testament and the Ten Commandments said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." So Unitarians worship the one true God. Therefore, Jesus, in their view, is not the Son of God. He's a great prophet and teacher, but he is not divine. So the doctrine of the Trinity is not easy to understand, and even the finest theologians find themselves at a loss to explain it satisfactorily. Some use a lot of analogies. One of the analogies is the masks worn by in Greek drama. You may remember hearing about those somewhere in your schooling. You know, you knew you were in a comedy if it was a smiling mask, and you knew that you were due for a tragedy if it was one with showing the teardrops on it. One actor wearing many masks can play many parts, but it's still one actor. Others have used the analogy of water. Under normal circumstances, water, H2O, is liquid. But freeze it and it becomes a solid. Heat it up, and it becomes steam or condensation. It is still H2O, whatever form it takes, but it can have three radically different forms. Still others use the analogy of roles and relationships. A man can be at the same time a father, a son, a husband, a brother, a nephew. One man, but many roles. They're not perfect analogies, but they're the best that we can do with these puny minds that we have received. John tells us in today's reading from John that Jesus was educating his followers in many things they needed to know about God and Jesus himself and more. The first followers, of course, were Jews. They understood God as creator of all things, who had handed down laws for us to follow. They saw him as an almighty king, all-powerful, all-knowing. To that concept, Jesus had taught them to think of God as Father. In fact, in the prayer, "Our Father," the word used is more like daddy. It's meant to be very personal when we speak to God, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven." But they were still Jews, and they hailed Jesus as the expected Messiah that was going to come and to do away with all of the problems that there were in the world, and he was going to take the throne at that time. But Jesus rebuked that and said, no, that's not why I am here. But he did reveal the Father and I are one. Jesus told those disciples that he had to leave them at that time in order for the Holy Spirit to come upon them to enable them to do the work that God had prepared for them and would always be with them to do that work. And on Pentecost, as Jesus had promised, they had finally received the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Counselor, the Comforter, the one who would remain with them to empower them to preach the gospel and convert the world. And if I'm remembering my Greek correctly, and I may not be because I'm a woman, I think I remember that the Holy Spirit is actually a feminine word. So that's the feminine side of God. And doesn't that make sense? Because who is the comforter in most families? Fathers, sure, but mostly moms. They're the ones who do that. I admit to you that I do not fully understand the concept of the Trinity any better than any of you. There is so much we don't understand about our faith. I read recently of another preacher who loved to preach a lot about geography. You know, we all have the things that we say over and over again to you. It's just human nature, I suppose. So he loved the geography. And so he was trying to talk about Dan and Beersheba. He's trying to explain that what that was. And Dan and Beersheba are the north and the south side of Israel and everything in between. So it's basically the country that had become Israel. And on the way out the door that morning, a parishioner said, thanks for straightening me out on Dan and Beersheba. I always thought they were husband and wife, like Sodom and Gomorrah. We have a lot of strange ideas about our own faith and lots of questions about our religion. We hear things over and over again, but we fail to understand them, and we hear them in a twisted way, as did that parishioner who thought Dan and Beersheba were man and woman and they were married somehow. When I was a child, I always thought that the first line of the 23rd Psalm was really weird. I have to say that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And as a child, I said, what do you mean I don't want God? That makes no sense to me. That's not what they're teaching me in Sunday school. But as I grew older, I understood that that was a weird Elizabethan way of saying, I shall not want for anything. The Lord is my shepherd, so I don't worry about anything because God will be there to supply me with what I need. In such matters, we often look to the experts to try to help us understand what it is that we are saying week by week. I heard a definition recently of an expert. An expert is a person at least 40 miles from home who brings a PowerPoint presentation. Well, I am neither 40 miles from my home, and I do not have a PowerPoint presentation today, so I make no claims here to being an expert. And yet we should try to grasp something about this thing we call the Trinity. Look how often the Trinity is mentioned in our typical service. What did I do with my bulletin? Look at your bulletin. Look at your bulletin, first page of your bulletin. And what is the first thing you read after the date? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There it is. It's right there. We see it every single Sunday that we are in church and have a printed bulletin. When I arrived here, I had never seen this in any of my previous churches. And I think it was my predecessor, Reverend Steve, who inserted it there. And I said, you know what? It should be there. It really should be there. Think of the hymns that we sing. Holy, holy, holy God in three persons, blessed Trinity. How about the Gloria Patri, which we sing absolutely every week? It's usually after the reading of the psalm that we come to from the end. And do you know why we sing it, by the way? We do it to Christianize that psalm, because that is a Jewish writing. It's not a Christian writing. And then we also do it with a doxology that we sing almost every Sunday too. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. When we baptize, we always do so in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And according to all of the Orthodox churches in the Christian faith, in order to be baptized, there are only two things that are necessary: water and in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It has to be done with that formula. And so that's why I know that there has been a reason to try to, get rid of the patriarchal language in a lot of our churches. I remain firm on that, because if you have a child baptized in this church and someone asks about the baptism, we always send a letter saying this child was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So if they're going to be married in a Catholic church, that is acceptable. But it's not if it's Creator, Redeemer, and I can't remember what the third one is that we tend to hear. A few Sundays ago, we confirmed those young people using the same formula in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that's easy kind of to understand, because that's just history. But there are so many questions in life that I am so ill-equipped to answer. Not only a lofty doctrine like the Trinity, but more mundane matters like, why do good people suffer? Why is life sometimes so unfair? What is the purpose of aging? Boy, I'm asking myself that one lately. Why does God not make faith a little easier? There is much that none of us can understand. And having established that, however, there is a second thing that we need to say. The secret of a successful life is not necessarily understanding, but trusting. Trusting. Isn't that what the song that you sang was about? We trust because God is ever faithful to us. We can either spend our lives making ourselves miserable about what does not make sense to us, or we can live joyful lives based on trusting in God. There's an ancient Chinese proverb that says, the bird does not sing because he has an answer. He sings because he has a song. And I think that's why we're very emotional around our songs. You know, that reaches something that no spoken word can ever reach. I may not be able to understand the mystery of God in three persons, but I can enjoy the incredible beauty of God as creator. I may not understand how a baby born in Bethlehem can in the Godhead be, as says one old hymn, but I can read with awe the life and teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. And if anyone had ever lived closer to God than he, I certainly cannot name that person. I may not understand all there is to understand about that advocate or comforter that Jesus said he would send us, but there have been times when the comforter, the Holy Spirit, has enveloped me with love, again, just as that song suggests. That's such a perfect song, Trinity Sunday. So we cannot describe God. Let's give that one up. We can't really explain the Trinity. We can give that one up. Our theologians attempt it by the doctrine of the Trinity, but I understand that there are not three separate gods, and the Trinity is only an attempt to describe three ways that God has approached us as our Creator and in Jesus Christ personally and with the Holy Spirit, which was left after Jesus Christ returned. I believe it is better yet simply to experience God, to be open to the power of God, and most importantly, to let the power of God flow into you, through you, and out of you into the world. And that is the way we honor God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.